Good morning on a Friday. We've got a great show for you ahead this hour and then a second hour of live local talk from Stewards of Sound Incorporated after 11 on our sister station, now heard on FM 103.1, AM 680 and WOGO.com, where we'll continue the conversation of politics, sports, and what's going on this weekend in the Chippewa Valley. But we begin it here later in the hour. Wayne Grudem. He is a theology professor and author of many books. He's a Chippewa Valley native, and that helped us secure the interview this hour. Amongst other things, we're going to talk in this election year about Christians and politics, and he is author of Politics According to the Bible. So Wayne Grudem later, 10:20 to 11, here on Front Page on WWIBandWib.com. But on this Friday morning, we begin, as we do as often as possible, with Dr. Everett Piper. He's the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and with us by phone. And also joining us back in studio, she's back from a couple of tours in D.C., and she's recovered from a cold. Renee Couture, welcome back.
Good morning. Good to be back in the land of the living.
Yeah. All right. Good. Let's get Everett Piper on the line as well. Good morning, Dr. Piper.
Good morning, Mark and Renee.
All right. It's a Friday morning, WWIB, and someone's calling me on my cell phone. Don't they know? This is like...
Hey, you're supposed to start your show. Just wanted to let you know.
My sister. I'm doing... Okay. Hey, Jen, I'm just... You know what? I'm just starting my talk show, so let me
and you're on the air. Hi, Jen.
And I'm on the air as I'm talking to you, so I'm just going to call you back this afternoon, okay? All right. Love you. Bye-bye.
You're serious.
All right. Well, she sounded sad, but, you know, her birthday was yesterday, and I did message her the night before, so anyhow. All right. Let's get on with the agenda. First of all, I sent you guys a bunch of items, so we don't have to do a lot of time on these necessarily, but and they're all just about politically related, so... Let's just say we don't have a corner on the truth, all right? We love God, and there's a lot of Christians who are disagreeing. I'm hoping disagreement can be done civilly, and in fact, I say that probably more important than ever, because more civilly than the rioters raging outside of a Trump rally in California. Everett, what'd you make of that?
Well, you're spot on. Disagreement within the body of Christ should be disagreement toward a goal, and the goal shouldn't be to humiliate your opponent or to somehow excoriate them, or to use ad hominem attacks and call them names. The goal should be to find out what's right and just and true and noble and be humble in the process. That doesn't mean that you back down and you don't have a robust exchange of ideas, because, you know, when there are two conflicting ideas, the law of non-contradiction says somebody's right and somebody's wrong, and that's okay to admit that as we push forward. But these riots, this anger, this vitriol, whether it be from the left or the right, is coming from the same bad spirit, and it's a spirit of anger and righteous indignation. I've often said, Mark and Renee, that indignation should not be self-righteous. My indignation has to be grounded in something bigger and more permanent than myself. So if I'm going to be pursuing righteous, it better not be self-righteous indignation. It better be indignation that's grounded in the Word.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, all of this gets me thinking back, whatever happened to the idea of tolerance? But then when we have changed the definition of tolerance to say, you know, instead of putting up with somebody's annoying behavior, tolerating them, it means now to accept and embrace another person's belief or creed as if it were your own. And that's what's just so sad.
I think a lot of times we use that definition that you just gave there in terms of coming back towards Christians. I know you have like the Josh McDowell Institute at Oklahoma Wesleyan, right?
Right.
And I think he helped write one of his, you know, many, many books was about the new tolerance. And a lot of times it's back toward Christian. I mean, this is obviously there's a lot that people are upset with, it seems like, in terms of whether it's accurately perceived or otherwise regarding Trump and his doctrine. It's represented by the wall and what's perceived as his view on minorities, Everett, right?
Right. And again, something I said on the O'Reilly Factor with regard to the difference between tolerance and love. Tolerance is an inferior virtue. It says, I really don't care about you, but I will tolerate you. Christian love says, I love you enough to stand in your way and not just tolerate things that might hurt you or hurt our culture or hurt your kids or hurt your church or hurt your community. I will love you enough to say, no, I disagree, and you need to stop. So there's a huge difference, and I would argue that the Christian virtue of love is a much more superior, it's a more superior ethic, if you will, than the secular virtue, or lack thereof, of tolerance. Again, tolerance says I don't care. Love says I care deeply.
Well, yeah, but love, the definition of that has even changed, because love today, by a lot of people, not myself, says, love, you just put up with anything and everything, and it's this, I call it idolatry of self. That's kind of a dual word, but really it's doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. What I think matters, right. And you have no right to say anything against.
It's self-love. It's narcissism. And that's not the definition, that's not the dictionary definition of love, and it's not the biblical definition of love. To O'Reilly, I said, on your anniversary, did you send your wife and I tolerate you card? Probably not, because that would be an insult.
You'd get a smack.
Exactly. We just don't tolerate those we love, because it's an indifferent virtue. It just says, I'm indifferent toward you. I really don't care. Do what you want. Whatever works for you. Love, when you stand before your spouse or your kids, is a higher ethic that actually cares about what they do and actually cares to venture into correction and debate if you think they're harming themselves.
We spent way too long on this subject, so I want to move on because we got a bunch of other things. Bobby Knight campaigning for and with Donald Trump, appearing in various media venues. But I played some of what he said yesterday on homepage on FM 103.1 AM 680 and WillGo.com. This 12-second clip, though, Everett and Renee, I want to get your reaction to. Bobby Knight.
You folks are taking a look at the most prepared man in history to step in as president of the United States. That man right there.
All right, so Renee, we'll get to you second because, I mean, you've got your history hat on and you do a lot of tours. You just got back from a couple in D.C. But I don't know, I got myself thinking in terms of the most prepared man in history. I mean, obviously Bobby's impressed with Donald Trump's leadership skills, but Everett Piper?
I'm speechless, almost. I'll just say this. If Bobby Knight were recruiting a basketball player that never had played basketball, okay, had all the attributes, perhaps, that he thought were necessary for the game, but had never stepped foot on the court and never dribbled a ball, never grabbed a rebound, never shot the basket, or shot the ball toward the basket, taking a shot, would he be the most prepared? This is absurd. Of course Donald Trump is not the most prepared, and that isn't even to critique Donald Trump's morality or lack thereof. To say that his resume represents the most prepared candidate in the history of presidential elections is just...
I think just to lay the resume out, I'd love to hear somebody, and they've been doing some joint interviews, I'd love to hear Bobby Knight explain that a little bit more. I mean, we know he did a reality show for 14 years. He's written a best-selling book, The Art of the Deal. He's written other books. He's had businesses succeed and fail. He certainly was born with a silver spoon. He was given a large amount from his father. He has grown that through casinos and other things. Renee, but I don't know, when you think back historically, you give the tours of Jefferson, Washington, Trump more qualified?
Well, I mean, that's what's so ridiculous is it, just think, break down that sentence, most prepared in history. So think of who he's excluding.
He's done Celebrity Apprentice for a bunch of years.
Think of all the brilliant people that he's excluding that... I mean, you can't even touch that because it's so ridiculous.
And I got to just say, for the record, I mean, I feel like, for me personally, I'll acknowledge, I feel like I've softened on Trump. Maybe, I don't know where you guys are at with that, but I mean, I've never been a part of Never Trump, and you and I, Everett, we've talked about that on the air, because if it comes down to that, we'll bring that up with Wayne Grudem later, author of Politics According to the Bible.
Right.
I've got a listener who emailed me this week. She's like, I don't like my choices of Hillary or Trump if that's the general election. But I just wanted to take that on. All right, Cruz picked Carly Fiorina this week. Now, Everett, you were kind of suggesting there, like, hey, he's got no experience, but Ted Cruz, his biggest counterpart in the GOP race, he just picked somebody to be a heartbeat away from the Oval Office if he wins the nomination in the general election who has no elected office experience either.
Well, I think that's a fair critique, and that's not to criticize Carly Fiorina, but I do think when you're looking at a person's resume, you have to acknowledge what they've done and not done in their career path that leads them to the point of wanting this job. And Cruz obviously does have some experience in how to navigate the political waters of Washington, D.C., and how to enforce the Constitution. He is a constitutional scholar, and he's an attorney that has stood before the Supreme Court, so he's very prepared to be a constitutional president. His resume seems deep to me. Mm-hmm. I'll let you guys debate the Carly Fiorina resume. I understand your question. I would say this, however. I said of Barack Obama when he was elected to the presidency, we just elected elected a man who never would have been appointed to the president's position at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He's not qualified to be president of Oklahoma Wesleyan. We appointed him to be president of the nation. And that was on the left. The left erred in terms of its idol worship of Obama and didn't care whether he was qualified or not. And I would say the same thing with regard to the debate on Trump. He is being his resume is being ignored in the same fashion by the right as the left ignored Obama's resume. Trump would never be hired to be president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He's not qualified.
But I've heard from a lot of Trump people, I mean, the idea is that, you know what, we want somebody who is willing to turn over the table, who really do things differently. Now, Cruz and Fiorina are making the case in Indiana and California and wherever anybody will listen to him, any radio or TV show, is that, you know what, this guy is a perennial, a quintessential Washington insider, and he'll just bring more of those deals to D.C. if he's president. But, Renee, for you as a woman, what was your reaction to Fiorina being tabbed as a Cruz running mate?
Well, that's exactly why he chose her, is because she is a woman, and to try to get that.
But not just because of that.
Well, no, I think, I mean, everybody knows Carly's background. We heard all about her during
Hewlett
the
Packard.
Debates. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, she, I think everybody, there's a big appeal because she can smack down Hillary with a one-liner. But I do think that that's why he chose a woman, is to try to get that extra vote. I think that that was a very strategic move on his part, not just because of her background.
He's got to win in Indiana on Tuesday. All right, so that's do or die. It's winner take all, 57 delegates. But if he's able to pull that off, it doesn't hurt that she's got a background running for a statewide office in California. Yes, she lost to Barbara Boxer, but she's got experience running throughout the Golden State, all 53.
And I think she's a true conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be, that's an appeal for me. And you know, Laura Ingraham, I was listening to her on my drive in, and she was saying this whole thing is an anti-Bushism. So, I mean, here we go. After 7.5 years of Obama, it's still being blamed on Bush, every problem in the world. But, you know, that's the same type of comment that people said about Obama. People are just so tired of Bush, so we're going to get Obama in. Now, get a Cruz in, and you have somebody, like I said to Greg on the way in, you think that Laura Ingraham is a friend for conservative, but she said there is no room ever in the history of the world anymore for anything but a conservative populist. And I was like, that is such a bunch of bunk. That's not true. That's as un-Reagan-esque as I've ever heard her.
Well, Laura, I mean, is, you know, various talk show hosts, she's one of those who has said that she's neutral, but I mean, obviously she leans very pro-Trump. So, all right,
neutral,
we went to that.
Right.
Also, John Boehner this week at a speech at Stanford, apparently it was a Q&A with students, calling Ted Cruz Lucifer in the flesh. Cruz's reaction yesterday.
He allowed his inner Trump to come out. You know, I will say this. If you're wondering who actually has stood up to Washington, I think John Boehner has made it crystal clear. John Boehner, in his remarks, described Donald Trump as his texting and golfing buddy. So if you want someone that's a texting and golfing buddy, if you're happy with John Boehner as Speaker of the House and you want a president like John Boehner, Donald Trump's your man.
All right, just a little bit more from Cruz.
I've never worked with John Boehner. Truth of the matter is, I don't know the man. I've met John Boehner 2 or 3 times in my life. If I have said 50 words in my life to John Boehner, I'd be surprised, and every one of them has consisted of pleasantries. Good to see you, Mr. Speaker. I've never had any substantive conversation with John Boehner in any respect. And indeed, this is something that's not publicly known. During the government shutdown, I reached out to John Boehner, and I offered for Mike Lee and me to come over and work with the Speaker. Can we resolve this and actually get something meaningful done to stop the disaster that is Obamacare? John Boehner's response was, I have no interest in talking to you.
All right, so Everett Piper, Lucifer in the flesh. I mean, there's opposition from within your own party in a primary process, and wow, that's kind of over the top, isn't it?
I believe it is over the top, and I think this is an example of what's wrong with the Republican Party right now. I think the establishment, and I'm going to use that language, I know it's overused, but the establishment Republicans don't understand the angst, the anxiety, and the discontent that's been that they've caused within the rank and file, within the grassroots, if you will. The conservative people across the nation, thoughtful, intelligent conservatives, do not like what they see in terms of the duplicity of their own party. And they have risen up, and they've challenged the party and said, this is not acceptable. And quite frankly, that has created the monster of Trump. Trump is popular today because of the discontent that the electorate has toward the establishment GOP. And Boehner's comments are an example of why the populace, why the average voter out there doesn't trust the establishment GOP. They don't understand that they've created this monster that's consuming their own party.
No, I agree. And I think that, sadly, you'd think that people that were tired of the establishment would have gotten behind a more conservative person instead of Trump. And I think we're starting to see his inner self merge out a little bit more beyond his talking points, what he's always believed, what he's always kind of stood for. That idea that it has to go down that way, you have to start going left more and more and more in the Republican Party, I just think is ridiculous. And I honestly don't think that that's how people feel. And you, this is kind of a side note, but you know, I've told you guys about how I saw this thing in D.C. about how the Nixon-Kennedy debates were the first televised debates, and mm-hmm. how Nixon won by the people that listened by radio, and Kennedy, the people that listened to him on TV, thought that he had won. And mm-hmm. Cruz has said, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that if he sounded different, mm-hmm. he would be so much more appealing. Mm-hmm. And as pathetic as that sounds, I think that that is a big reason why he's not higher in the polls and has a higher appeal with people, because he sounds so annoying.
Lastly, you know, a possible Trump running mate. My mom texted me yesterday. She said, well, she's not been a Trump fan at all. She said, well, what about a Trump and Cruz ticket? And I said, there's no way. There's nobody you've branded lying dead for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Not only that, I don't think there's any way Donald Trump, if he was elected president, could name Ted Cruz very deserving and worthy, as you noted, Everett Piper, as the Supreme Court nominee. I mean, you couldn't. Somebody you've tattooed lying Ted on his forehead.
He might reverse himself. It's amazing how politicians will call each other names that are just, you think, how in the world?
Okay, that's a strong one that's gone for a long time. But all right, any speculation on a Trump running mate, or we'll have to wait on that? We'll have other days to talk about that.
I'm not going to speculate. I will say this. It's not going to matter, because Donald Trump cannot win the general election. Women won't vote for him. Mm-hmm. Hispanics won't vote for him. Mm-hmm. Blacks won't vote for him. The independents won't vote for him. Mm-hmm. And probably 30% of the Republicans won't vote for him. If he's the nominee, it doesn't matter who he picks.
Boy, with all due respect, I think that's premature. But all right. Any predictions?
Right. Well, I don't know if I hope you're right.
Any predictions, Renee or Everett on Indiana on Tuesday?
Cruz wins
Indiana.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. He's just getting so beat up right now.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. The Bobby Knight endorsement, a pretty big one to
Bobby
overcome.
Bobby Knight.
Everett Piper, it is. Thanks so much for being our guest. We'll talk to you next week.
Blessings, guys.
All right, Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. We got a great guest the rest of the hour, Dr. Wayne Grudem, Systematic Theology. He wrote it. Many other books, and also Politics According to the Bible. He's our guest next. We'll look for some clarity on WibandWib.com.
Does your business rely on document access by various team members? Tired of slow editing problems via email? Well, the solution is DCS NetLink and Google Docs. With Google Docs through DCS, you can create great-looking Word documents, spreadsheets, and presentations that multiple team editors can work on at the same time. It will save time and create a more positive work environment. Find the solution. See DCSNetLink.com today.
Denise from Williams Diamond Center. I want you to know we buy gold, silver, platinum. We buy coins of all kinds, diamonds and costume jewelry as well. It really pays to clean your jewelry boxes. It's easy, fast cash. Williams Diamond Center in London Galleria.
Karen joins us again from Festival Foods, where they always do such a great job helping us save money. And this week, no different. One of the family favorites, chicken, is on sale.
Well, that's right. All this week, we have not just a chicken sale, it's the ultimate chicken sale. You can save on bulk packaged chicken at great low prices. You can stock up the freezer and save. And if you need some recipe ideas, take a look at festfoods.com.
And when you have chicken as the main course, you've got to have some great sides to go with it. The deals are in the bag in the deli department.
And everyone loves the bag sale, so for some side dishes, how about a 10% off deli bag sale? That's right, you can pick up the bag as soon as you enter the doors, otherwise we'll have them in the deli. Anything from our deli that you can put in that bag, hot bar, salad bar, specialty cheese, sushi, 10% off. Check out the store for more details.
Sales begin each Sunday in Eau Claire and La Crosse and on Thursdays in Marshfield. Festival Foods.
Hello, this is Greg Stewart. WWIB has just opened up a rare full-time position. We are looking for a seasoned morning announcer with a passion for gathering and delivering news and promoting community affairs. Opportunities to carry a continuing talk show position as well as announcing play-by-play sports. You'll work with state-of-the-art equipment. A bachelor's degree or equivalent is required, along with previous radio experience. Social media and blogging are a plus. Enjoy working with a team of professionals. Mail or email your cover letter and resume to me, Greg Stewart, Program Director, WWIB WOGO Radio, 2396 Halley Road, Suite 1, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729, or email gstewart@wwib.com. WWIB WOGO is an equal opportunity employer.
Front page, Mark and Renee with you on a Friday, 51 degrees, and our guest is in a place where it's a little warmer, I believe Phoenix, Arizona, Dr. Wayne Grudem. And he's got roots in the Chippewa Valley, born in Chippewa Falls, grew up in Jim Falls until he was 13, and attended Eau Claire Memorial until graduating in 1966. And what an accomplished career. Author of many books, a theology professor, and systematic theology is one that he gets credit for. But also, we want to talk with him largely in the next 36 minutes about his book, Politics According to the Bible. Wayne Grudem, thanks so much for joining us from your home office today.
Good to be with you, Mark.
All right. I understand you don't do a lot of interviews right now. You got a couple of different writing projects you're trying to focus on, but we won you over with your heart for Wisconsin. Is that right?
When I saw you were based in Chippewa Falls, and I had heard about WWIB before. In fact, I may have been on a program once before.
No, I've interviewed you a few years back, right?
Right.
In fact, it was related to the book I want to bring up again today, Politics According to the Bible. But you wrote a book as well on poverty since we spoke, right?
I did, yes. It's called The Poverty of Nations, A Sustainable Solution.
Hmm.
It it argues that if nations follow biblical principles, they will escape from poverty.
Hmm.
And those apply to the economic system, the governmental system, and the cultural beliefs and values that people follow. We've got a pretty good response to it, and my co-author is an economist, Barry Asmus, and a friend. So we're glad about that book.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for being our guest. It's been a crazy political year, unlike anything any of us have ever seen. And as we sit now, we just got done with the opening segment. Renee and I talking with Dr. Everett Piper from Oklahoma Wesleyan University about some of the political matters in the news. The rioting by the anti-Trump protesters in California outside of a rally there last night and more. But for starters, I mean, what do you make of this whole crazy political year?
Well, it's democracy in action, isn't it? We have freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of association, and anyone who wants to can jump into the political fray and attempt to to persuade voters. I guess I could say, Mark, I personally endorsed Marco Rubio, and my wife and I sent some support to him. We were disappointed when he didn't do as well as we had hoped. I'm now hoping that Ted Cruz will be the Republican nominee.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a principled conservative and incredibly intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what's going to happen, do we? And it's in God's hands.
Mm-hmm. Right now, the race has continued to develop. Trump with the big wins in the Northeast earlier this week, and then Ted Cruz the next day, and Trump even midday, that day, I guess on Wednesday, gave this what was billed as a major foreign policy speech. And so Cruz then announces Carly Fiorina as a running mate and was made fun of some on the Stephen Colbert show on CBS last night.
Of
going,
course.
Hold it, you just lost bad in five states and you're announcing a running mate. But what do you make of that selection and the way that that race sits now here on the Friday before the huge Indiana winner-take-all primary on Tuesday?
Well, it's interesting. Carly Fiorina is highly accomplished and has a very impressive business career. She's articulate. She's strongly pro-life and is equally conversant, apparently, in the debates, as I watched her, conversant in foreign policy as well as domestic economic policy. So, and, of course, she offsets to a certain extent the appeal of Hillary Clinton, because you hear people say, well, it's time for a woman to be president. number of ways, it's strategically a good choice. Carly Fiorina backed Ted Cruz early on in the campaign and seems to share similar values.
Yeah. I read one of your articles, a little bit older. It was from November of 2015, talking about that it's no time to retreat.
Oh, yes.
That, I can't tell you how much that just exploded on the inside of me as I was reading it, and I
really
started sending it to everybody that I know, actually.
Well, thank you, Renee.
Well, you're welcome. But if you could you talk a little bit about that for people that have not read it, because I think that the ideas presented in that article are exactly why we are in the big, fat mess that we're in the United States of America today.
Renee, I'm trying to reach into my file.
Well,
file cabinet and pull out the notes on that article. I didn't realize that was going to be
on the sorry.
Agenda, but it was. I'll just say it was given at a professional society meeting in Atlanta with other teachers of Bible and theology, other professors, and I was just saying that Christians have, throughout history, influenced government for good, from the ancient Roman Empire up through modern days and modern times, and we shouldn't back down from that. And I also mentioned, I don't know if I'll have all of the details correct, Renee, but the United States is still a very good force in the world. The United States is the largest source of Christian missionaries and Christian literature and online Christian resources in the whole world and biblical scholarship. And the United States is a pioneer and example for the world of government by the people. In 1776, when the United States was founded, there was only one national democracy in the world. In 1950, there were 22, and by 2010, there were 120 countries ruled basically by consent of the governed. Those who are in the government consent to the governed. So the United States has been a beacon for democratic self-determination by nations around the world. The United States is an example for the world of freedom for religion, and many countries don't tolerate other religions. There's tremendous oppression in Islamic countries, in Hindu-dominated countries, oppression of other religions, but Christianity tolerates and welcomes freedom of religion and freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly. Christianity and its influence in the United States has not squelched these, but has protected them.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned John MacArthur quotes in that article, who I'm not a big fan of, but he was, his idea, I think, has spread to a lot of mainstream Christianity, where, you know, his philosophy is, oh, well, Christians should only be involved in Christian things, and we should not, Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. And I say, you know, Christians need to, and you, in one sentence that I read to my sister this morning, you nailed the whole idea of the seven mountains of influence or the seven mountains of culture, talking about how Christians with a biblical worldview have got to be in positions of leadership in business, in education, in church, in family, in government, because how can you disciple a nation if you're not, if you're this cheesy little subculture with no influence? And I've said forever.
But doesn't it start with discipling disciples within the church?
Now? Absolutely. But
okay,
then after you're discipled, to do whatever your gifting is called to be and be a Christian in whatever realm that you're in. You know, people have said, well, I don't like politics because they're dirty and ugly. Well, if you've got dirty and ugly people involved in politics, that's what you're going to have. But if you have godly people in positions of power, whether it's a politician or a plumber, you're going to have more godly influence.
Exactly. Well, Renee, that was what led me to write the book, Politics According to the Bible, which goes through and attempts to apply biblical teachings to over 60 specific political issues, but it also shows that throughout the history of the world, God's people have had influence on secular governments, from Joseph in being second in command in Egypt in Genesis 41:40 back in the early pages of the Bible, to Daniel advising King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, and Nehemiah being cupbearer to the king, and Esther saving the Jewish people by intervening before King King Ahasuerus, and Mordecai being number two in rule over the kingdom of Persia. John the Baptist rebuking Herod, the Roman ruler, and Paul speaking to Felix, the Roman governor. I mean, those are many examples in the Bible about God's people influencing government, even being in high leadership positions of government, and those were all secular governments, not just the nation of Israel.
Wayne Grudem, our guest, front page, WWIB. You got to check his website, waynegrudem.com. Mark and Renee with you on this Friday. I want to talk a lot about his book, Politics According to the Bible. Yes, we talk about elected officials and Christians leading in that capacity, but what about you as a voter? That's for most of us, and I want to throw that question out to Dr. Grudem, and also specifically an email I got from Donna this week, who thinks it may end up a Trump versus Hillary general election, and she's like, I don't like either of those choices. So what's a Christian voter to do? We'll look to Dr. Grudem for some wisdom and insight on that. WWIBMWeb.com.
The brand you trust, prices you'll like.
Wow, Jimmy, this steak is something else. When was the last time Russ was a seasoning?
I know. And this grill's only a couple of years old.
Well, just come to Amundsen's. We have grills with a 10-year warranty. You won't have that worry about that rust anymore. Buy a Napoleon grill now, and for a limited time, you'll get free grilling accessories, free setup, and free delivery and disposal.
Seriously? You mean I don't have to waste a whole Saturday putting it together?
Amundsen's does it for you. Free setup, free delivery, free disposal, and free accessories. All you have to do is the grill.
Awesome, because I always end up with a screw loose.
Of course you do, Jimmy. Stop at Amundsen's for details, carrying the largest selection of American-built appliances, Rice Lake, Eau Claire, and Chippewa Falls, or visit online at amundsensappliance.com. Be sure to check out the outdoor patio and LP fire pits, too.
And the best place to buy is Amundsen's.
Karen joins us again from Festival Foods, where they always do such a great job helping us save money. And this week, no different. One of the family favorites, chicken, is on sale.
Well, that's right. All this week, we have not just a chicken sale. It's the ultimate chicken sale. You can save on bulk packaged chicken at great low prices. You can stock up the freezer and save. And if you need some recipe ideas, take a look at festfoods.com.
And when you have chicken as the main course, you've got to have some great sides to go with it. The deals are in the bag in the deli department.
And everyone loves the bag sale, so for some side dishes, how about a 10% off deli bag sale? That's right, you can pick up the bag as soon as you enter the doors, otherwise we'll have them in the deli. Anything from our deli that you can put in that bag, hot bar, salad bar, specialty cheese, sushi, 10% off. Check out the store for more details.
Sales begin each Sunday in Eau Claire and La Crosse and on Thursdays in Marshfield.
Festival Foods.
Do you believe generosity is an expression of faith? Are you looking to align that belief with your investments? Well, if so, contact Kathy Jensen, your area Thrivent financial representative, today. All right, Mark Halverson, Renee Couture, and Dr. Wayne Grudem. You can learn more at waynegrudem.com. Access to books, articles, video, audio. You can spend the weekend there. Waynegrudem.com. We're talking to them largely about politics according to the Bible, but a pastor friend of mine who's a big fan of his book, Systematic Theology. I'm like, hey, if you want to call on Friday, go ahead. We'd be glad to take your call. But Wayne Grudem, before time gets away from us too much, just give me an overview in terms of Christians and voting, Christians and elections. And yes, I already told you before the break where this is going towards a general election. Sometimes people say, all right, you know, Jesus isn't on the ballot, so I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. In a fallen world, that is, I think, going to be the reality. But how should we view this? How do you understand this? How do you prioritize the issues in making that determination, whether it's president or a lesser office?
You know, Mark, God has given us a great privilege of being able to choose the leaders who lead our country. Very few people in the history of the world have had that choice. And it's a gift from God. It's something we need to use responsibly. So I don't, you know, when Romans 13 says the civil authority is God's servant for your good, and that was under the Roman Empire with the Emperor Nero, not a good emperor. God's servant for your good. I don't like this talk where people say, I'll choose the lesser of two evils. I think they should say, I'll choose the better of two goods, even though they're not perfect. Because the Bible views civil government as a good, something that God gives us for our good. And so I know that people can become cynical and see all the failures of politicians and the system hasn't worked as we like. But look at other areas of society. Nobody's perfect in the business world. Nobody's perfect in the world of education. Nobody's perfect in the university world. Nobody's perfect in our neighborhoods. I mean, we can always look on the dark side and be cynical, but I would be hopeful. And I'm encouraged that God has brought much blessing to the United States of America for its history. I've traveled to a number of countries of the world, Mark, and it's amazing how the United States, I know there's much evil in the country, but we're surely not Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're nowhere near that, because there are far more than 10 righteous in our nation. 29% of the population in one survey are evangelical Christians, another 21% Roman Catholics, among whom many are born-again believers. So maybe 15 to 25%, even if the numbers aren't exactly right, 15 to 25% of the population of the United States are people who regularly read their Bibles, pray to Jesus, and sincerely seek to honor God in their daily lives. And most of those people are deeply grieved by the immorality and evil flowing through our culture. And many are not sitting back and just whining. They're working to change the trend and praying that God will bless their efforts that have been going on for many years. So I know that some people say, oh, we just deserve judgment, God is going to judge us, but my goodness, if God judges a nation with this much Christian influence and presence, tell me which nation of the world will he not then judge? I may be wrong, but Mark and Renee, I am very hopeful. I'm hopeful for the future of the United States, and I'm hopeful that God is going to give us a good president out of this tumultuous political year.
But how do you make – that's a good answer in a lot of ways, Dr. Wayne Gruden. But how do you as a Christian voter make that determination, whether – we already had our primary on April 5th. Indiana's going to vote on Tuesday. If somebody was to ask you from Indiana, boy, I don't know who to vote for in the primary on Tuesday. Can you help me out, Dr. Gruden? What would you tell them?
Let me say that I'm speaking as a person. I'm not representing Phoenix Seminary or my church or any other organization. But speaking as an individual, my best judgment is that on many issues, I think that the Bible, and I've explained this in the book Politics According to the Bible, the biblical values in as we understand them come down to support conservative political views on abortion, on same-sex marriage, on freedom of religion, on the rights of the Constitution, on national defense, on the best way to help the poor, and other things. So that means that I'm generally supporting Republican candidates who have conservative positions on these issues. Now, in Indiana, Mark, Governor Kasich has withdrawn from campaigning there to give more votes to Ted Cruz because he thinks that Ted Cruz is a better Republican choice than Donald Trump. And that's also my decision. That's my judgment. Yeah. I met Ted Cruz. I was able to give him this book, Politics According to the Bible, a few months ago in Washington, D.C. Also met Marco Rubio and was able to give him the book. Whether that has any impact, I don't know. But, you know, Ted Cruz, remarkably, is one of the smartest lawyers ever to come along in the United States. He was clerk for Chief Justice William Rehnquist in the Supreme Court, and that's the top law student job in the whole country to snag, and he got it. So he's incredibly smart, and the polls in Indiana are just within 2 or 3 percentage points of each other right now, and anything could happen, so we don't know.
All right, I think that's good, and I want one more just to – this is an email from Donna, and she said earlier this week, she said, I'd like your thoughts on the elections. I listened to WIB via the web. I hear you discuss politics. I'm a person who knows it's my job to vote, and yet how does one vote for Hillary or Trump? I'm a conservative Lutheran and very strong in my faith. I wonder often who God would elect. Let me just give you the rest. Knowing I need to vote, I find it hard to vote for either of them. She asked my thoughts. She says, I'm asking for an explanation and help besides praying about this for our country. So I deferred to you. I told her I was going to have I'm going to have Wayne Grudem on, Politics According to the Bible. So here we go.
My personal judgment, I'd say vote for Trump. if it's Trump versus Clinton. Vote for Trump, because we know what Hillary Clinton would do with regard to the Supreme Court. She would appoint more living Constitution judges who think that the Constitution's words and original meaning do not bind them, but think that they can make up their own decisions and say that they're in the Constitution. And what would happen then with 5-4 majority on the Supreme Court, then maybe 6-3 or maybe 7-2, the constitutional protections that have governed our nation for years would be taken away from us, and there would be more and more. All of the gains of the pro-life forces in the last 30, 40 years would be nullified by a future Supreme Court. Gun rights would be taken away, saying that you only have the right to have a gun if you are a member of a militia or a military force. And same-sex marriage would forever be enshrined in the Constitution, and religious freedom would be significantly curtailed, so that these protections for people to follow their conscience, which are being lost in job after job around the country, I think it would mean that Christians would more and more be marginalized or excluded from one after another occupation. I think that the future of the country as a constitutionally governed republic is at stake, and it would be lost under Hillary Clinton. So Trump is unpredictable, and he's not my favorite choice, but he certainly would be far better than Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. That's, again, Dr. Wayne Grudem, author of many books, including Politics According to the Bible, our guest here up till 11. If you have a question or comment for him, I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you agree or disagree with his answer. You have something else to ask him about. It doesn't have to be related to politics. The man's an incredible mind. 723-2555 in Eau Claire in Chippewa Falls. 1-800-657-4769. You can email mark@wib.com.
I think your comment just before that was absolutely excellent. And I think, you know, your background, you know, as a systematic theologian, I would say that you are for sure.
He wrote the book.
You think generationally. And I think that that is in many ways what we've lost. We're in a microwave society. We want things right now. We don't think past lunch. And but when you think systematically, like you just laid out, if Hillary became president, this and this and this and this would happen, that would affect generations.
It would, Renee. And so unquestionably, and I wrote in the book in 2010, and I've said it publicly in many speeches, the largest single issue facing the nation is control of the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court basically interprets the Constitution, and the Constitution is our highest governing authority. Now, if the Supreme Court begins to make up its own ideas, not following the words of the Constitution, make up its own ideas and say, this is in the Constitution, as they did in Roe v. Wade and some other cases, then we no longer have the nation as we knew it. We no longer have the ability to govern ourselves, but we're governed by 9 unelected Supreme Court justices, and that's what Hillary Clinton wants. That would be the end of the country as we know it. It's a major issue.
Yeah, I like the way that talk show host Hugh Hewitt says it, and I know you've been on his show more than once before, but the idea of the war in the court, I mean, in terms of the war, whether it's against Islamofascism right now in the form of the Islamic State, or potentially with Iran, if they go nuclear, that would probably trump, no pun intended, probably trump even ISIS in terms of a significant enemy, but that commander-in-chief role, but also the court and the significance of that. And obviously with the death of Scalia, we've got that hanging in the balance as well.
Yep.
More with Wayne Grudem when we come back. One final segment. Your questions and comments welcome, as we particularly are focusing it towards his book, Politics According to the Bible. But anything else you'd like to ask him as well, he has authored the book Systematic Theology, used by so many seminaries and Bible schools around the country. 723-2555. 1-800-657-4769. You can email mark@wwib.com. One more segment with Dr. Grudem coming up on this 51 Degree Friday.
Mom can do it all, so make her special day extra special with great gifts from the Peebles Mother's Day Sale. Find 40% off spring styles for her, 30% off dresses, and savings on accessories and handbags. All her favorite fragrances are here, too. The Mother's Day Sale is on now through Sunday. Plus, shop extended hours on Mother's Day, open early at 11 a.m. For extra savings, look online or download our app. Hurry in to Peebles, part of our Stage family. Exclusions apply. Hours vary by store.
you can get your IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta Home Delivery Gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
The kicks just keep coming at Mega Holiday. We're talking four new flavors of Kickstart by Mountain Dew. There's Midnight Grape, Watermelon, or how about Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Mix and match any of your favorite Kickstarts for only 99 cents. So kick it into high gear and head to Mega Holiday for Kickstart. Grab an old favorite, or try a new one like Midnight Grape, Watermelon, Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Because any Kickstart is only 99 cents, only for a limited time, and only at Mega Holiday.
One more segment with Dr. Wayne Grudem. He is quite a mind. He is, in fact, a professor of theology and biblical studies at Phoenix Seminary. He's published 20 books, including The Poverty of Nations, A Sustainable Solution, which was published in August of 2013. Also, this is not bad to put on the resume, I was the general editor for the ESV Study Bible. So congratulations on that great work, Dr. Grudem.
And you should add, Mark, that he's coming to his 50th high school reunion in Eau Claire for Eau Claire Memorial in September.
Go Aves! Go Aves! All right, that's awesome. Well, congratulations on that as well. So, well, again, we're wanting to talk more in terms of this this election, but I always like this line. I heard it from Stuart Briscoe, one of my favorite preachers, and had such a big influence. But he just said it's important, and I want you to amplify on this. He said, your theology needs to precede your politics. I'll say it again. Your theology needs to precede your politics. Do you agree?
I agree, and that leads me to think that God is pleased when the leaders of a government are responsive to the wishes of the people and rule for the good of the people, not the good of themselves. And that happens most effectively in a democracy where we vote for our leaders. It's an amazing government that God has given us through the U.S. Constitution as it was set up.
But again, it's important that our theology, influenced by books like yours, Systematic Theology, and theology, define that for us. Because sometimes we get lost. A pastor in a church I was at recently, Mike Thompson at Faith 3 in Stanley, said, how many of you are theologians? And hardly anybody raised your hand. And he explained theology a little bit. And was like, well, what do you think?
Everybody has beliefs about what the Bible says. And so in a basic way, people do theology all the time. Why I wrote that book, Systematic Theology, was to collect the verses from all over the Bible about different topics and then attempt to lay out what they say in a way that people can understand it and be convinced by it.
Yeah, and I think for you being such a brilliant mind, you write in such a way that the average person can actually understand, and I think that's a huge gift from God.
Renee, a lot of that comes from growing up in Jim Falls.
Oh, way to give a good shout-out to Wisconsin.
Where people spoke ordinary language.
Yeah, well, I thinking of brilliant minds, Mark knows I love to do historical things, and I give tours of the East Coast in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
And one of the quotes that's on the Jefferson Memorial, it's only a chunk of the original quote, but I wanted to read this quote to you from him because this, when I read this 20 years ago when I first started giving tours, it's something that I think about every single day of my life. Jefferson says, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated, but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever."
Wow.
I mean, when I read that to people, the shortened version that's on his memorial, you know, he's the one that gets blamed for the whole concept of separation of church and state. And yet here is one of our brilliant founders saying our liberties are a gift of God. And I mean, I have people all the time say, well, our liberties come from government. And I'm like,
No, no, our founding documents say that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, no, the Declaration of Independence itself and then the Constitution were based on people's belief that God gives us rights and government is just to protect those rights that are given us by God.
How has that been lost? My goodness.
I hope it continues to be true, Renee.
Again, waning moments of our conversation with Dr. Wayne Grudem. Learn more at waynegrudem.com. But from your book, Politics According to the Bible, it's over 600 pages, discusses over 60 political issues grouped into 18 categories and 18 chapters. But here's kind of an overview that in this book, you recognize that five mistaken views. You reject five what you call mistaken views about Christian
right.
influence on politics. One is compel religion. Number two is exclude religion. Three, all government is demonic. Number four, do evangelism, not politics. Number five, do politics, not evangelism. You propose what you say is a better alternative, significant Christian influence on government. Talk with me how that begins in terms of for those who are listening all across the WIB listening area, Wausau, Marshfield, La Crosse, in terms of how does it begin for us individually in our marriages, our families, even in our churches?
Well, it begins, Mark, in terms of I think the Bible influences all of life. It influences families and marriages and businesses and education and all those things, but it does influence politics and government, and it begins by doing what you're doing right this morning on this talk show, talking about how the Bible influences our political convictions. For some people, that just means they're going to vote intelligently. Other people will do more. They'll give money to political candidates. Some will run for city council. Some will run for state legislature or even become a governor or a U.S. congressman or a senator. I think God calls people to different things, and we have to be obedient to what God calls us to do, but we should not at all despise or look down on people who give their lives to working in government. So I think of my own congressman, David Schweikert, a conservative Roman Catholic here in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area, and when I talk to him, he says, pray for me because it's really important that I have wisdom to make the right decisions. Our government is still filled with many people who believe that and act that way, and we should be thankful for them, not write them off or just brush it away with cynicism and say, oh, it's all corrupt. And people have no idea of the horrible consequences that would result if the United States loses the kind of constitutionally based republic that we were founded on, because it would have consequences for the whole world. We defend many small nations, Taiwan, South Korea, Western Europe, Israel. We're the only military power that has enough strength to defend against aggression by Russia, China, North Korea, or ISIS. We protect world commerce around the world. We are the world leader in medical and pharmaceutical research. We're the largest provider of food and medical aid for poor nations of the world. There's still a lot of good that would come to the that comes to the world through the United States, in addition to the Christian influence. And if that is lost, then the consequences for the entire world would be very severe and very, very sobering.
I'm very sobered by just hearing you say that, especially after I read that article, you know, No Time to Retreat, because one of the things that you said in that article, which I don't know how that didn't enter my mind before, but you said, you know, our Navy, just our Navy protecting the areas of water all over the world,
yeah,
you know, pushing back pirates, pushing back so many evil, ridiculous people that without the presence of the United States Navy, that one line, just think of, and you said that we're not even getting paid for that.
No, but unfortunately, the present administration has cut our military strength from 588 ships in 1988 to 285 ships or less today. It just continued to deplete our military power, and I think there are severe consequences, harmful consequences for the rest of the world. We're seeing it now in Ukraine and in other threats in the area of Eastern Europe. We're seeing it in China advancing into various parts of the South China Sea, just taking over more and more territory. We're seeing it, of course, in ISIS running amok in the Middle East. We're seeing it in a number of areas of the world. where the United States has just withdrawn its influence, and evil powers just are unchecked, and there's significant harm to many people in the world as a result.
That is a great part of Politics According to the Bible, where you lay that out and explain that, and you do that very well. Just some real quick hitters in the final 2 minutes here, Dr. Grudem. Some view politics and they just write it off. I'm looking at a post on social media from a pastor this week who just said, I don't like any of the candidates of the Republican Party, he says, and he says, but as a Christ follower, why would I expect any less from the world or the worldly?
Well, but Christians have influenced government throughout history and God's people throughout the Bible. As I said earlier in the broadcast, they've influenced secular governments for good, and we should continue to do that today.
You also, though, do explain, people can go to WayneGrudem.com. You got an article on why pastors should preach about political policies.
Yes.
That's controversial.
I sent that article that I referred to. I sent that to my pastor about 1 second after I read it this morning.
You don't back off from controversy.
Not all the time, anyway.
Yeah. One other thing. Earlier, you talked about the poor. And again, I don't know if we can do a quick hitter on this, but you said you felt like biblical issues from the sanctity of human life to marriage between a man and woman, religious freedom. But then you talked about even the best way to help the poor, and you felt like that the way that conservatives or Republicans approach that is more in line with Scripture than on the left.
Yeah, Mark, there's no hint in the Bible that the solution to poverty is people become dependent on donations from government year after year after year. The solution to poverty in the Bible is that the poor work and are given productive activities to earn a living for themselves. They're given land back in the year of Jubilee. They're given the opportunity to have gleanings at the edge of the field, but they had to work for their what they got. And the solution, the difference between the two parties today is the Democrats continue to say that the solution to poverty is more government handouts, and Republicans continue to say, no, the solution is allowing businesses to grow because businesses are what provide productive jobs for people so that they can have the dignity of supporting themselves.
And that's,
I think that's what people really want. They want the dignity of supporting themselves and working to earn a living, not continual handouts.
That is another of your books, Business for the Glory of God. Go check WayneGrudem.com. Wayne Grudem, thanks so much for being our guest. Have a great summer, and we'll look for you in Wisconsin when you come back for a reunion, okay?
Thank you, Mark and Renee.